Following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Umesi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle Throwback Radio, Rant EM Radio. Oh, yeah.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The greatest tag team combination of all time.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
With your host,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea.
And Scott!
Hey, Hulkster, welcome back to Jun Japan. So, how are you feeling? Also, you wrestle great Muta. So, what do you study today?
Well, I tell you, today is the most exciting day of my wrestling career, simply because I'm the WWF champion 5 times. But the most important thing to me is to make sure that my career ends in Japan. I want to come back to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I'm back. The IWGP belt is the most important belt in the world today, and that's why I'm here. I'm in the greatest shape of my life. I'm in Ichiban shape, and I'm going to prove to you, Saito, to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and to all the Hulkamaniacs out there that Hulk Hogan can beat the great Muta right in the center of the ring. And from that point on, every wrestler in New Japan shall fear Hulkamania, and I will prove I am Ichiban, and X Bumba will be supreme all throughout Japan.
非常に嬉しくてハッピーであると。日本ではいろいろな目的があるけど、クラウンズクロー達成に来てきたと。今日はグレートムダにレスリングの恐ろしさを教えてやると。新日本のレスラー、全レスラーに対して自分の恐ろしさを教えると。それで一番最低のは現在 WWF の王座の5回目のタイトルを取っている男だと。それと IWGP にももちろん非常に興味を持っていると。今のシェイプはものすごくいい。
わっ IWGP 一番ベルトね。
自分にとって IWGP は必ずの一番のベルトだと。Well, Hulk, sir, good luck today.
Good luck today. I don't need good luck today because I'm in great shape. The great Muta, as great as he may be, will find out that Hulk Hogan, smarter, wiser, faster, and more powerful in the ring. The WWF title is just a stepping stone. I want the IWG belt today.
自分は頭が良くて強くてスマートな男だと。今日は絶対負けずグレートムタに教える。But good luck anyway.
Thank you.
Ichiban!
Heyo. This video is so hard. Dude's walking the streets like he knows somebody, you know?
Yeah, it's a great song.
It is a great song. Ladies and gentlemen, of the Tiger. You recognize Symbol of Excellence in Sports Entertainment Broadcasting. I can't even talk. From the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact player, Mr. Philly Rea. And I am joined by...
the fat back with the way back, Kid Human himself.
Scott! And we are live? Well, technically we will be.
We are live, but you'll hear us recorded.
Right. On Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media. And part of the Shining Wizards Network. We're on your Roku, your PlayStation, your Xbox, Pastor Dell's Boombox, Matt Squire's Sony Walkman, Surfer's Reel to Reel, right?
Yeah, Tony C's Discman.
Tony C's Discman. what else were we? We're on Geek Life Radio, Stitcher, iTunes.
Rick Darris Panasonic tape recorder.
The 8C batteries. Definitely the Panasonic. And where are we? Google Play and iHeartRadio and you tune in. I think I covered all my bases, I think. Anyway, I'm all excited. It's Hulk Hogan's birthday today. Happy birthday, Hulkster.
Happy birthday.
63 years old.
Terry Bollea.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought he'd live to see that long?
I played the IWGP promo, where he pretty much tells everybody that that belt means more than what he's wearing, which was the WWF title, right before he left. This was March of 93. And I think that was his last appearance at a WrestleMania right after this happened. He fought the Great Muta that weekend in New Japan. You ever see that match?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I must show you, Scott-san. Really, really good match. Really good match. Yeah, man, you know what? Hulk Hogan, not one of my favorites, but we all know the impact he had on the industry. So you have to give him his props you know.
If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here entertaining you guys.
Yeah, pretty much. Hulk Hogan is the blueprint of sports entertainment. I don't know.
You could say when it comes to Hulk Hogan, me and Phil, just a couple of haters.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. I was supposed to cue that up, but I didn't even know.
Now what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of haters, is it true? Do you have the Rock thing in your notes or no?
Oh, yeah. Him and Vin Diesel getting into it on a set of Fast 8.
All right. Hold on to that then, because that dude's a hater.
Yeah.
That dude's a hater. So I'm glad you got that in your notes. Yeah, like I said, Scott and I are not live, but we're live, but we're not live. I have a family obligation, and we all know if I don't fulfill those obligations, I'll be homeless. And then you will not have a show, and that would suck. Because who else is going to entertain you on a Friday night besides Scott and myself?
Exactly.
Let's be honest, Scott. Honestly, who else is going to do this besides us on a Friday night right now?
I don't know. I mean, there's nobody.
Exactly.
It's just us.
Exactly.
We own the Friday night spot.
That's right.
We all know that you don't go get your drink on until you get your old school on.
That's right. That's right. It's the truth. It was meant to be this way. It's meant to be this way. But yes, speaking of scheduling, next Friday, and Scott will plug this probably at the end of the show. I just want to remind everybody, though, that next week we will not be broadcasting on Friday. However, you are getting a very special live Turnbuckle Throwbacks on SummerSlam Sunday, brunch time, so noon. And brunch is only on Sundays, apparently. That's the rule. I don't know who made this up. I don't agree with it. I had brunch today, so I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
I eat brunch every day.
That's what I'm saying. We don't conform. We don't pay attention to the masses. We do what we want to do. But anyway, next Sunday, SummerSlam Sunday, and then the night before, you're doing the NXT pre-show.
Yes.
With the Boss Man. I'll be calling in live from the event with Thumbstick Ninja's host, Rob Domingo. Our buddy Rage will be with us. Choppy will be with us.
Isn't some other guy going with you?
What the fuck's his name?
He's like the thing in Patrick Swayze in that movie. He's always there, but you just don't know about it.
Is he Ghost?
He's Ghost.
He's like the pottery scene?
Yes.
That means he's all in Demi, right?
He's in something.
That's gross.
Sick freak!
Yeah.
It might be Linda tonight or Margaret. I don't know.
Linda, Margaret. Anyway, so yeah, look out for that. Kid, I'm going to give you all the plugs at the end of the night. And we have a really good show for you tonight. A couple of news items. Take a quick break, and then we'll get into our very hot throwback. And it is fucking oppressively hot right now in the Northeast. It's like with the heat index, it's like over 105. So, yeah, the continent of Africa cold. They want their fucking heat back, man. You can have it.
Yeah, take it, please.
I was telling Scott today, I walked two blocks down to this local store to get myself some provisions that they didn't even have. And I was texting and calling people at the same time. And by the time I got back, I had to get out of my clothes. They were like just drenched with sweat. It was terrible. I was like this, and it took all the energy out of me. I had to like unwrap myself and lay on the couch for like 3 hours. I had to recharge my battery. It was fucked up.
He had the cat wagging his tail of Phantom.
Yeah, my cat was like, "What's going on, man?" I'm like, "Dude, it's hot. Go away." You know. But yeah, it was oppressively hot. It's supposed to be oppressively hot again tomorrow. Thank God I'm on the tail end of my vacation, my staycation, if you will. I've been living it up, going to bed all hours of the night. Being a hooligan, watching stuff on TV I shouldn't be watching.
Cinemax After Dark?
You know it.
All right.
You know it. Ring that bell. Drinking adult beverages right now as we speak. It is a party in my pants and on a microphone. All right. So, Kid Human, you have some news items that you just told me you want to talk about.
Yeah, I got a few news items here.
Well, shall we get into it?
Yeah. Let's do this.
Let's do it, baby.
Oh, okay. I'm waiting for the thing, but that's not this show. My bad.
See,
so we'll go with what was teased up a little bit earlier. The Rock and Vin Diesel. Let's see. I haven't read up on this here, so I got this pulled up. Looks like they've been feuding on the... Vin's been having problems with The Rock because The Rock keeps showing up late for production. Sometimes he doesn't show up at all and delays the production. The reports have also been of Diva behavior on Diesel's part, especially during filming of Fast 7 when Vince spent a whole day in his trailer once. The next day, they waited for 4 hours for him. He called a meeting to his trailer and for 2.5 hours to say, "What the fuck am I doing here?" According to another source, Diesel was constantly late when we worked together. Diesel acted like a diva and has held up production before. It's not surprising that he's on the Rock, that he's the one the Rock is calling out. So basically, Vin Diesel's being a lazy shit, not wanting to work, and the Rock is getting pissed.
Now, all the marks, of course, this morning and this afternoon are all over this on the dirt sheet sites and the pages and stuff. And someone posted, "Who would win a fight between the Rock and Vin Diesel?" You know what I answered?
The Rock.
No, I answered TMZ.
There you go. They would win that.
You know what? Just because The Rock is a massive man doesn't really mean he can fist fight. And just because Vin Diesel looks like he can fight don't mean he can fight either. I really, at this point, does anybody care? I think I lost interest after the third or fourth Fast and the Furious. I have zero interest in any of these movies.
Do you know how many Fast and Furious movies I've seen?
Zero.
Pretty much. I've watched parts of the first one.
That was
mostly because when I put on the TV, Eva Mendez was on there.
Yeah, she is quite the looker.
Yeah, she is.
However, Kid Human, I'm more excited about The Rock being in that Disney movie coming out, that Hawaiian. I know you're very anti-Samoan, but this is a very cute looking movie, and he plays a big fat Samoan in it, which I think warms my cockles because I like, you know, he looks like a little jolly Samoan guy. Has nothing to do with wrestling, but. It looks like the Polynesian version of like Lilo and Stitch, you know.
Okay.
So, and Disney always comes correct. So I'm excited about that aspect, and I'm more excited about him playing in that Captain Marvel / Shazam movie. I thought he was supposed to be Black Adam. I don't know when they're going to film that, but
Who knows with DC and their clusterfuckery of movies.
Did you get around to Suicide Squad yet or no?
No.
No, okay.
No, I can't bring myself to pay for a DC movie.
So Batman totally turned you off then?
Yeah, not Batfleck, you know. Okay. No, thank you.
Okay, that's fine. To each his own.
Yeah, he couldn't pull off Daredevil. He's not going to pull off Batman.
He pulled off Batman a little better than Daredevil. I can't blame him for the fuck up. Like I said to you before, they forced a lot of stuff into that movie. That's why the movie was that bad. They forced too many things into that movie. If they would have simplified the fucking storyline, it would have been perfect, but they couldn't. He played an okay Batman.
Yeah, all the reviews I saw was them people saying what you thought would be the worst part was actually one of the brighter spots in the movie.
I agree with that.
Now, I remember on Facebook when it was first announced that he was playing Batman and he was getting all the hate for it. I got Kevin Smith on my Facebook. He posted, Ben Affleck, he's going to be a great Batman. He's been reading Batman comics and watching the movies since he was a kid. And he'll do great. And I just replied, just because I'm a Yankee fan and watch all the games doesn't mean I'm fucking Derek Jeter. You know? I mean, I don't care if you watched all the movies and played all the games and read all the comics. If you suck, you suck.
That's it. And I gave my explanation last week on the birthday show about, you know, directors not doing that, not giving the titles their due diligence, you know, and not investing their time and emotion into the characters, which I think the more this stuff happens, the more that has to happen. Of course, you can hear all that comic book movie talk on Sundays, but, you know, myself and Kid Human are fanboys since we're tots.
My underoos, baby.
That's right. Yeah, of course. So we can validate our opinions, and we could definitely educate the masses if we ever decide to go in that genre.
Yeah,
I don't think they would want to hear us on a fucking comic book
no.
comic book movie show. I think we'd make more enemies than friends.
I'd be begging Joss Whedon to come on the show. Please.
We'd probably
tell people how to make a proper movie.
Poor Jordan Cobb would cry, probably. That poor sap.
He'd beat himself with his co-host in a year, Ranty.
You are not. I don't want this no more. You can have it. Anyway, shout out to Jimmy Harvey and Jordan Cobb, by the way. That's all peoples. All right. What else is going on?
What else do we have in the news? Buff Bagwell. Apparently being a part-time gigolo isn't paying the bills because now he's suing the WWE for royalties. He's believed he's owed royalties due to his contract statements for royalties for pay-per-view events and home video content. His suit claims the WWE ignored the following terms of his contract. It should be noted that the WCW mentions in these two paragraphs refer to the WWE's WCW brand. Basically, he's saying because they're using him and showing his footage from when he was in WCW, he is owed royalties. His contract stated, in the language in 2001, stated video cassettes, video discs, CD-ROM, or other technology, including technology not yet created. So he's saying the streaming content is technology that had not yet been created at the time of the contract. But he was released from this contract. He also notes that the net receipts would be received by the WWE. The network grossed $155 million in the final quarter of last year. And they streamed the old WCW pay-per-views that he performed in. So he feels he's owed royalties from that, the Nitros, the whatever else they have of him up there.
So what's the network's been? Network's going on 3 years now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you mean to tell me in the last 3 years he couldn't get the legal action going prior to that? And I think you answered your own question when you said that his male gigolo gig isn't paying very well because now all of a sudden he wants to sue.
Yep.
This is just another bitter guy, man. You know, what's next? Glacier's going to sue?
I mean, every WCW guy that's not getting paid, I mean, you were released from your contract because you weren't performing.
Right, and you know, not for nothing, and I'm not sure what the logistics were. I'm sure our WCW brethren that are on part of our networks can attest to this, but I think some of these guys would they were trying to obtain, but they didn't. Like the Bagwells of the world, the Stings of the world. Like the only guys that stayed around were like, you know, Booker T and DDP and a couple other guys. They didn't they didn't retain a lot of guys for certain reasons.
Bagwell was when WCW was bought out, his contract expired 4 days later.
Oh, so that's why then. And just they didn't renew it.
They did bring him back.
Oh, okay.
I think in March, like at one point in that year, he wrestled one match on June 2nd on Raw, and it was underperforming, so they released him in August of that of 2001. But they didn't use him after that match on Raw.
Gotcha.
So, and then they just cut him because they had nowhere to put him or didn't want anything to do with him. And he's saying that they breached the contract, but if you're not under contract and were released from the contract, therefore, what leg do you have to stand on? Unless there's other legalese that says this went on forever.
Well, Buff Bigelow, male gigolo,
ain't
making his money, so. Fucking loser.
Buff Bagelow.
Buff Bagelow. I think I just found the name of our show. This episode, I mean, yeah. All right.
Oh, well, on a brighter note, it looks like one of our favorites from the last round of releases has found a home. Former WWE star Damian Sandow is heavily rumored to be appearing on TNA. Since this article has come out, it's been proven because he just said on Twitter, you might want to listen to what I have to say tonight. I have a lot on my mind. Make sure you tune in.
And I'm sorry, go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But TNA had released a trailer stating, and it just came on and said, he is doing his own thing across it, and then followed up by the Hallelujah song playing, which he used to come down to as the intellectual savior.
You know, and then, like, I read this last night, and then this morning all the kids on the Facebook and Twitter were like, oh, wait, they're gonna make him champ, too. The guy's got work. He's a good worker. You know, I hope he wins the championship 17 times.
Me, too.
I love that guy. I think, you know what, these fucking marks, man, they make me laugh.
It's like, what's next?
That is next. That's the next step for him. He's going to do TNA. He's doing a bunch of indie shows around here anyway the next couple of months. This guy's booked until, like, next spring.
Yeah.
So you know what? He's a hot commodity. He's an amazing talent. And like Scott said, he entertained us as the intellectual savior for a gazillion episodes of Raw and SmackDown. So silence to all of you.
And then I thought they should have stuck with the Rhodes Scholars, man. That was such a great tag team.
That was a great tag team. You know what, though? This was one of the guys that creative had nothing for. He was like the Dolph Ziggler of 10 years ago. He was in developmental for a gazillion years. They brought him up. They had nothing for him for the first couple of years. He was up even. And then they gave him that angle, and they took it away from him.
Yep.
It was almost like, okay, listen, it's like going to a really fancy restaurant and you get like the appetizer and you get the soup and the salad and you get your meal. It's like, you know, they're putting the food in front of your face and taking it right back so you can take it. Or remember, you ever go to a wedding and like they have to force everything because they're behind schedule?
Right.
So you sit down and all of a sudden you're getting like the soup and you're like, I just sat down. Then you're getting your pasta dish, then you're getting your salad, then you're getting your main dish. And before you know about it, you're not even done with your meal yet. They're already pouring coffee for the cake.
Yeah, and I was like, where's my cheesecake? You already ate that. No, I didn't.
No, I didn't. Fatty wants his cake. And then you're
exactly.
Sitting, right, and then you're sitting there, you're like, what the fuck would happen? What just happened? That's what happened with Sandow. They just rushed him up and then they gave him this gimmick and then it was so, and then the thing with The Miz, come on, man. When he was a stunt double.
Oh, that was solid fucking gold.
That was hilarious.
And then they had him break up on the biggest stage of them all. Crowd going ballistic in that Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And they dumped him.
They dumped him.
For fucking Macho Mandow and Axel Mania.
So, I don't know, and I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not blaming him for anything, but there had to be a disconnect somewhere. Either someone important didn't like him, or he just wasn't what they thought he was going to be. Which to me is kind of odd because he was the complete package. The guy cut promos. He was pretty good in the ring.
Yeah.
And he was solid. I don't know what the deal was.
I'm not saying he's like he was WWE championship material, but dude was at least US and IC title material all over the place.
He could have been the company's best heel.
Yeah.
You know?
Like you said, he was a great mouthpiece.
Yep.
If you weren't going to use him, then, you know, give him to somebody. Give him to somebody. I mean, you had him working with The Miz, who's a mouthpiece in his own. The guy couldn't cut a promo. He just stood there quiet. It was ridiculous the way they misused him. But on a brighter note, did you know Orton actually had a match in NXT, Randy Orton?
No.
Yeah, it was one match in NXT back in 2013, and it was against Damian Sandow.
Well, slap my ass and call me Maurice.
Well, Maurice, I will be posting that to the page later.
You have the match?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, delicious. Okay.
Yep, I got it here. I got a link somewhere over here.
All right. Good. All right.
Yeah. Well, you know how we're always kidding around that they always listen to us and they always take our ideas and run with them. They listen to this network, to the shows and everything.
Yes.
Well, apparently somebody's fucking listening because Ryback is now in talks with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
No shit.
Yes.
And that was direct from me.
Yes.
Because whoever posted it, did you post it today on the page?
Nick German Suplex did.
Nick German Suplex. Thank you, Nick. And I said to you, hey, Scott, didn't I say this a bunch of months ago? You said you sure did. Now, I think this is perfect for him. And, again, this guy's booked forever. He's going to be in Nick German Suplex's area. He'll be here in a couple of months in New York and New Jersey. He's going to be in Maryland, Massachusetts. And then, of course, hopefully.
We're just going to call him fucking Norista because that's where he's going to be for the next 6 months, the Northeast.
Yeah, let's call it like we see it. Ryback is a big dude who can definitely, he's super stiff, and he could definitely work the strong style schedule.
Yes.
Speaking of strong style schedule, thank you for the segue. I have two pieces of news, and I'll do the first one here. The IWGP Tag Team Championship match was announced at the G1 Classic going on at August the 14th on New Japan World Live. If you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you want to do that kind of thing. The Briscoes will defend their straps against the members of the Bullet Club, Takahashi and Hangman Page. And, of course, it's going to be a fantastic match. I'm excited. I forgot the Briscoes were IWGP Tag Team Champions. I have not been up on my New Japan in the last couple of months. And that's pretty much it. I'm just excited about it. That's all.
They took them from Tama Tonga and Tongaroa.
Yeah, what do they call themselves? The Gorillas?
The Gorillas of Destruction? I can't remember. I was reading it last night.
Yeah, they took them from them. That I knew. I forgot they were champions. And, of course, both Pages joined the Bullet Club in the last couple of months. They have resurfaced as a full heel team. Of course, you have the six-man tag team that's still affiliated with them, but they're really not, I guess, with Kenny Omega and the Bucks. And they put out their own Bootio's parody shirt. I saw it the other day. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
Gorillas of Destiny?
No. That's probably it, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was pretty happy I'm sorry. Bullet Club is still a name.
Yeah.
Even though AJ's not there and Gallows and Anderson, and even though that Kenny Omega is pseudo affiliated with them, I love Adam Cole. I'm an Adam Cole mark. Anybody who knows me knows I'm an Adam Cole guy, so I think he was a perfect slide in, you know. So
yeah. Well, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done, sir.
I got a little bit of breaking news here.
Oh, wait a minute. Can I play my breaking news thing?
Go ahead.
Okay, where is it? Where's my breaking news thing? Here it is. Breaking news! Kid Human Turnbuckle Throwbacks fucking faces.
Okay, Damian Sandow, Aaron Stevens on Facebook, A-R-O-N Stevens, has updated his Twitter handle to Aaron Rex TNA. That's at A-R-O-N Rex, R-E-X, T-N-A. And he says, I assure all of you it's still me. In fact, it's more me than ever, as you will see tonight.
Good for him. I hope he does well. Hope he
update
does well.
Your Facebook. Follow the guy. He's great. He's funny. I've been following him since he was Sandow. Can't go wrong.
Smart dude.
Yep. Okay, so that one's good. What's next? WWN announces live announces More Than Mania WrestleMania weekend schedule with 10 events. Now, this is happening in Orlando, Florida, on the other side of town. You can get tickets and information at morethanmania.com. It's going to feature, where is the schedule here? On Friday, the 31st. Oh, sorry, it starts Thursday, March 30th. It's at 8 o'clock with an Evolve show. At Friday at noon, it's Progress, 4 p.m. Evolve, 8 p.m. Chikara. At midnight, Kaiju Big Battle.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday the 1st, stop scrolling here. Shimmer Women's at noon, Chikara at 4. WWN Super Show Mercury Rising, Progress vs. Evolve at 8 p.m. and Beyond Wrestling at midnight.
Progress is the UK promotion. That's amazing if you haven't seen it on YouTube. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then Sunday, More Than Mania Tailgate Party featuring Full Impact Pro and American Combat Wrestling. Location and time to be decided.
If anybody has a Roku, WWN has an app. Their stuff is like pay-per-view. There's some free stuff on it, but it's not that good. But you could pay to like watch old iPay-per-views from different promotions. So WWN, huh?
Yeah.
Hopefully the Rant will be representing Mania in 2K17.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can all be there. That's still in the works. And we'll have our own little schedule of events that weekend. So maybe you might see some of us. That's one of these shows. You never know. Maybe
who knows?
Maybe you'll see me and Scott in wrapped in sheets throwing stuff at people.
There you
like
go.
Like togas. Maybe you'll see Tony C teabagging all the people in the front row wearing Cena shirts. You just don't know what's going to happen, you know? You just don't know what's going to happen.
Maybe you'll see me and Tony C jump in the ring and beat up the Usos Dudley style.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Tony C's a skinny-looking Devon, though. You could pull Bubba off, though.
Yeah, I got the glasses.
Yeah, good for you, champion. Yeah.
Well, I'll just mug somebody for the glasses and break them and tape them.
That's why we're from New York, people. That's what we do.
Yes, that's it.
That's right.
All right, so where were we here? Staying with the progress, Will and UK team. Will Ospreay is currently under contract with New Japan and stated, if he gets any, you know, this is going back to the Paul Heyman contract he was offered. Any contracts or offers he gets has to be looked over by New Japan Pro Wrestling and approved by them. He says if they allow him to sign with an American company, it'll most likely be Ring of Honor since they have a working relationship with them.
Right.
Then the next article I click on is more details on Will Ospreay making his Ring of Honor debut.
No shit.
It's serious shit.
It's the only American promotion he's allowed to work for because New Japan is WWE light.
Yep.
New Japan is in direct competition now with WWE. And
yeah, since they're raping their
talent, yeah, pretty much. I don't see him going anywhere past Ring of Honor unless he breaks a contract with either them or New Japan or both.
Right.
He might do the Finn Balor route. He might do the Indies and Ring of Honor for a couple of years. And then when he lets his load out and he wins a couple of titles, he's going to do the Finn Balor thing. He's like the next Finn Balor, man. I think he's the next guy. Him and Zack Sabre Jr., I think those are the guys that are Finn Balor-esque. I'm not comparing them to Finn Balor as a character or a wrestler, but on that caliber, those guys could be Finn Balor-esque.
Yes, definitely have the potential to follow along in his career path.
Right. So I don't see them. I don't see any of these two guys doing anything with the E unless they break all ties with these other promotions. That's pretty much it.
Pretty much. But yeah, he's going to be appearing on the Reach for the Sky tour in the UK this November. His name was announced with the likes of Jay Lethal. The Briscoes, the Young Bucks, and Dalton Castles were the first names announced for the tour. It's Friday, November 18th at in Liverpool Olympia. Saturday at Leicester Community Sports Arena, and Sunday at the Seymour Leisure Centre in London.
If any of our UK contingency is making those trips, if you're listening, and a couple of you guys, I know you make the trips, please let us know. We'd like some kind of correspondence from these events.
Yeah, Baza.
Baza, Harry, Philly Dennett, Ben and all the Ring War cats. Our buddy Josh. There's a bunch of guys in the UK that listen to the show. So,
yeah, all you people that aren't friends with that other guy that used to host the show, call us.
Yeah, that fucking guy.
Oh, yeah, he alienated so many people. What's wrong with him?
That guy's an asshole.
We love you guys. Doctor Who forever. Woo!
Jesus!
Chris Jericho wants to have a booze cruise, based like a 4-day cruise with him headlining it.
Oh, Christ! Because he thinks he's a hardcore metal. Never mind. That's what that's what the old metal bands do. He's not an old metal band.
Well, we're staying on the Ring of Honor thing here for one more moment. CMLL, Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre.
Look at you learning the language.
Announced they now have a working agreement with Ring of Honor.
Good.
They announced this deal during a press conference earlier on the 10th. And Ring of Honor star Matt Taven will be the first wrestler sent to CMLL for the talent exchange. Additionally, Mexican wrestler Stuka Jr.
Stugatz, what?
Stuka Jr.
Oh.
Which sounds like child porn in Mexico.
Hello, gorgeous.
Was the first person to be part of the exchange when he competed at Aftershock in Philly on the 16th of July. And Dragon Lee will also appear for ROH on the 30th and October 1st.
Yeah.
Taven will appear in Mexico on September 9th at the Arena Mexico.
Delicious.
Yep. So, speaking of luchas and cruiserweights, Noam Dar has quoted, "The WWE is the place I want to work full time to actually come in here and get this experience of the experience of it. Even if it's just for the remainder of the tournament or this week has been fantastic. It's always been a dream come true to work for the WWE." So he is looking to stay with the WWE. So you never know what's going to go on with the Cruiserweight tournament. But we do know one thing's going to go on with it. At the end of the Cruiserweight tournament, they will be debuting the Cruiserweight title.
We talked about that. They're going to get the little. They're going to get the statue,
yep.
Or the little fucking trophy, and then they're going to get. They're going to reveal the belt, and they're probably going to get a title shot, or they're probably going to have a tournament or something, or you know, a one-off.
Yeah, it's not been confirmed when the division or title will debut, but the speculation is we'll get to see the Cruiserweight title debut during the final episode of the Cruiserweight Classic.
I have zero issues with that. Do you?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, let it go in there. Give the winner the title and then say, get your ass out there and defend it next week.
That's what I'm saying. I totally agree. Yeah.
And my last bit of news is Ember Moon will debut on NXT next week on the 20th.
Who?
Ember Moon. Athena.
Oh,
It's like she picked up one of Mrs. Reyes' sultry romance novels and picked her name.
Oh.
They were making love under an ember moon. That's it.
Isn't that Will Morgan's boo?
That's Will Morgan's boo. Athena, formerly known as Athena.
Hello, gorgeous.
All right.
Yeah, she's
Ember Moon. Sounds like a fucking anime.
Yeah?
You make Chabo? No, Pokemon. Sorry.
Digimon? No, Ember Moon Man.
Digimon? No, Ember Moon. Ember Moon versus Digimon. Coming Saturday night to the Wrestling Colon Show.
Yeah, so she'll be making her TV debut next week.
Okay, so I have one more news item, unless you have anything else to add to our...
That's what I gathered up this week. It's been slow as shit for the news lately.
Dude, we got some nice news items, though, man.
It's been good news items, but not as many as it has been, but that's
happy.
Good.
Good, I'm kind of happy about that. I want to talk about Sabu for a second.
So, all right, let's talk about Sabu. I read a little bit about this.
I don't know if you're on this group page with me. When Global Force Wrestling first jumped off, one of the admins was actually working for the company. This guy Randy, I don't know if he's still working with them. And I'll call his name out. I don't even think he listens to the show because I tried to plug the show on a page and they kind of like shunned me out. And I kind of had a little spat with him and like, listen, if you don't want me to plug my stuff on your page, because they were talking about something specifically about one of the indie guys. When I was hanging out with the Pro Wrestling Syndicate guys a couple years ago, Pat Buck and them got involved with Jeff Jarrett, and there was an invasion.
Right.
To the point where when Pat Buck broke away from Pro Wrestling Syndicate and started WrestlePro with Curt Hawkins, which is going on right now, there was still an invasion angle. And Kevin Matthews, our buddy Kevin Matthews, wrestled for them. A bunch of guys from that Fala Ba, all of Eddie's guys, Shining Wizards Eddie, all his stable, the New Heavenly Bodies, all those guys, Chris Payne, they all wrestled, Mario Bokara, Dan Moff, they all wrestled for Jarrett at one point. So I joined their fan page.
Dan Moff Tarkin.
I won't tell Dan Moff that, though. That dude's a massive man. See the size of Dan Moff?
I'm good. Dude, it's meant in a good way.
Yeah, no,
I know.
One of
my favorite characters from Star Wars. I awesome.
Yeah, Dan Moff's a good dude. He's a Bayonne badass. He's one of the nicest guys on the planet, FYI.
I'll put me in a trunk in the swamp somewhere. No.
He would definitely laugh that off. anyway, long story short, I became part of this group, and I did nothing with it. Once in a while, they post stuff, but since Global Force hasn't done anything, they post other wrestling shit, which to me makes no sense, but again, I'm not the admin of this page, and I don't care. But today, someone posted a GoFundMe page for Sabu. Now, I'm telling you, on Scout's Honor, and I've never been a scout, I've never posted in that page except for me plugging the show about a year and a half ago. That was it. I didn't do anything else after that. I just followed the page, and if there was somebody posted an article, like some of their referees from Global Force would come on, I would just read their shit or whatever. They're a bunch of nice people, by the way. They're really respectful. They take care of each other. It's kind of like what we have in our group page. I read this today, and the guy was like, can you please help out Sabu? He's having some long-term medical issues. He needs this. He needs that. And I'm saying to myself, now, we all know what happened last year with Sabu with Pat Buck's promotion. He got high and trashed a hotel room, and the hotel was in the promotion's name, and he fucking didn't want to pay the bill and was too high to wrestle, and he missed the show. And, like, he was a real scumbag about it, you know? And he's been known to be a drug user for a long time in terms of recreational. I mean, of course, he's living with pain because he, he's been – the guy put his body on the line every night for us. The guy pretty much scarred his entire body and broke every bone and ripped every muscle in his body every night to entertain us. And it was great in the 90s. However, he's been abusing drugs and painkillers to get by, and it's affecting his work, and it's affecting his reputation with promoters. So I, of course, normally I don't say anything, and I was full of piss and vinegar today, as is, because of current events going on behind the scenes in our camp. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I fucking went on the page. I'm like, you know, not for nothing. I said, the guy's lazy. He's a junkie. And people want to pay for this guy's medical bills, but people who paid to see him when I was there didn't get to see him a few times because he would was too high to come on to the show. So I got a rebuttal. Guy's like, you don't know what you're talking about. This guy was telling me that, you know, he lives with a lifelong of pain. You don't know what pain is. I'm like, don't know what I know what pain is. I said, I'm a first responder for almost 20 years, worked two and three jobs at a time. I've broken bones. I've ripped, you know, ligaments and muscles, moving patients and being involved in mass casualty incidents. I said, don't tell me about what I don't know. And then, of course, he goes, well, thank you for your service, but I am a disabled veteran from Desert Storm, and I know what pain is. I'm like, well, thank you for your service, but I'm going to give you I'm going to fill you in on something. The WWE has a rehab program that wrestlers and valets and managers have taken advantage of. If you are part of that company, you can get help, and very expensive help for free. He chooses not to. Therefore, he's lazy. And wrestling fans are the most passionate and most generous fans I've seen on the planet.
You want to know how generous?
How generous?
In one day, 81 people have donated $2,400 to his GoFundMe.
Right. So, and I said, I've given that man a ton of money. I've given Sabu money since from 1993 to 1998, and you can ask Tank and anybody else. And you know this for a fact, too.
Yeah.
I used to go to those shows all the time. I missed two New York shows in their entire existence due to illness and death in the family. I went to every single New York show. I was in Philly for 2 years in a row every other month. I went to Florida to see them. I've been to Boston to see them, Massachusetts area. I've been all over the fucking planet to see the ECW on the Eastern Seaboard. So I know what kind of character Sabu is. I know what he did for the business. I know what he did to entertain the fans. Still doesn't defeat the negate the fact that he is a functioning junkie, and he needs help. So, you know, whoever listens to the show is a fan of his, or if he's listening, go get help. You know? That's
yeah.
it. Go get help. I mean, you've been in WWE. They
yeah.
bought ECW. They'll pay for your rehab. Go get the rehab. Scott Hall did it. Jake Roberts did it. Sonny did it. A lot of people did it. You know, some of them didn't come out right, but they went and got it done. They tried. You know,
yeah.
it's one day at a time, man. One day at a time. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's easy for me to sit behind a microphone and tell him to do that. But it's more difficult for him not to pick up the phone and say, hey, man, I have a problem. I need help. You know? And
yes.
I normally, like I said, I normally wouldn't get involved. But I saw that GoFundMe page, and it pissed me off because everybody's starting a GoFundMe page. Now, I've seen people I know start GoFundMe pages because, you know, of certain things. And I'm like, you are a fucking loser. Like, come on, man. Buckle your shoes and tighten that belt and get out there and hustle, man. And I kind of feel like that because, you know, nobody gave us anything, man. We had to go out and we had to hustle our own shit.
Exactly. You know what my GoFundMe account was? I got a fucking job.
Yeah, or two. Like, see, that's the thing, man. If I wanted something, I couldn't wait on my mom to get it. Or my dad, who I didn't see in almost 20 years, or whoever my mother's flavor of the month was, or aunts, uncles, cousins. I had a grandma who practically raised me, and she gave me everything she could. And I thanked her for it, actually, the other day. I went to go see her. I haven't seen her in a couple of years, but I told her I loved her. And I said, you know, not for nothing. I said, thank you. And this is before I even read the Sabu thing. I'm like, thank you for instilling in me some of your work ethic. Because you were my grandmother hustled. My mom, with an eighth grade education, my mom hustled. And they hustled way too much because they didn't have anything and they didn't know any better. And back then, you can get away with shit and
yeah.
hustle. Now I know the struggle is worse, but come on, man. It just, in this society, in this kind of, you know, this sense of entitlement society, I think wrestling fans are so hooked on nostalgia. And listen, we do a show about nostalgia, but in hindsight, and I don't want to speak for you, but I know you agree that I think it's just in poor taste that people are paying for this guy's medical expenses and he hasn't tried to help himself.
I agree. I agree. It's, you know, if people look for the easy way out, and that's it.
Scott, you and I have been friends a long time, you know, and I
yeah.
think, and we weren't the best of friends. We were more like acquaintances. And we hooked up later in life, and I'm blessed beyond words that we're friends, and that you're part of this in my life and in my fucking show and our and what we're doing now as a brand, as a team.
Yeah. But whatever, you got to take. We didn't see each other every day. We didn't hang out, but when we saw each other, it was like we never missed a beat,
and it was special. But my point to you is this: if I was doing something like that, I would expect a friend like yourself or one of our peers or one of our friends or girlfriends, wives, cousins, like somebody close to us in the crew to pull me aside and go, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Like, I would I hold you to a higher standard. I would expect my friends and my peers to do that for me, you know? I don't know if this guy has that, and you would think that with all these wrestlers, the support group is amazing. Like, I watched Scott Hall. And when he called up, you know, when Jake and DDP called Scott Hall up,
yep.
and he was like, "Yo, man, I'm in bad shape. I'm drinking vodka. I'm popping pills. I'm in bad shape." And they were like, "Dude, get on a plane." And Dallas is like, "Get on a plane. Me and Jake will help you." And you know what, dude? Not only did they help him,
they saved his life.
They saved his life. And then the fans were like, "You know what?" DDP was like, "You know what? Now he needs a new hip, and I can't afford that right now." And this is when he was still trying to shill his now $1 million, you know,
yoga
business. Okay, So, and the fans were like, you know what? That's something I can get behind. That's something I'll drop $5 or $10 on. You know what I'm saying? $20 or whatever the case may be. I gave a fucking lady today. I was on the phone with Rick, Rick Dower from Talk Brunch. I was talking on the phone with him. And as I'm talking to him, a fucking homeless lady stopped me to get something to eat. And I know she's a junkie. But you know what? It's 100 degrees outside. And I'm hoping she buys herself something to eat with that fucking dollar I gave. I had $2 in my pocket. I gave her a dollar. You know? Like, I know who needs it and who doesn't need it. I'm at a point in my life where I can almost tell who needs it and who doesn't need it. You know? Sabu doesn't need it. Sabu needs... go ahead.
Rob Van Dam is retweeting his GoFundMe. Rob Van Dam, that dude's got money.
That's his boy.
Yeah. Is that how you're helping him out?
Right. Can you call him up and say, hey, man, call Vince and go. Call Triple H and go. Like, they didn't burn that bridge. They didn't do anything stupid with them.
No.
Rob Van Dam was their champion, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but it's the worst thing. And they keep bringing him back. They keep reaching out to him. He just wants to smoke and knows it's going to cost him. He's like, I'm good.
But, Scott, he doesn't have to pay for this. The rehab they have is like a country club, state-of-the-art facility. It's like $20,000 a day.
I know.
Like, you can – and, you know, you can go there and as many times you need. I think Sunny went there like 3 times.
She's been there. She stayed the last time 3 months. It cost something like $900,000 for her to go there.
That's crazy. But yeah. And you have that at your disposal. You know, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, our medical insurance won't cover that shit. If we became junkies, we'd be criminals.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Rehab would be a fucking 8x8 cell.
Yeah. No padding, no TV. You know, hopefully you don't get hit in the ass either, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, I'm off my soapbox, man. I've had a long, stressful day.
Well, there was one more thing I forgot
to mention. Sorry. Go ahead.
WWE named more people for the 2K17 game. If you want to find out who they are, go to Turnbuckle Throwbacks page, scroll down a little bit, and click on the link. I'm not going to read off all 25 names.
Yeah, I read that to the kid before he left again today. Mikey Flat left me again today. I read him the stuff. He's like, we're going to pre-order it, right? I'm like, yes, we'll get the fucking 8-inch Finn Balor figure.
That's sold out.
Is it already?
Yeah, I went to get mine, and it was sold out.
Oh, well, then we'll pre-order anyway, and we'll get the Goldberg. I do want that. You see what Nick German Suplex posted? That WCW ring with Dusty Rhodes figure?
Yes.
I might have to drop $50 in the kid. I want to play with it. I need the kid as an excuse, though.
Got the kid as an excuse.
I told wifey, I'm like, can we buy it? She's like, what do you mean, can we buy it? I'm like, let's get it for the kid. She's like, you know, you're full of shit. You know, you want to play with it. And I went, you caught me, baby. I am guilty of charge, if you will.
Do you like what you used to do in Pathmark when they came with free stuff? Just to cut the thing out and grab Dusty.
I don't want Dusty. I want the fucking ring, dude. I have Dusty. I have 7 different Dusty Rhodeses. Tank gave. I had one Dusty, right, from '86 with the big gold belt. Tank gave Mikey a couple of years ago, like a duffel bag, like thousands of dollars full of figures, bro. Like loose, right? And we have like 3 different Dusty Rhodeses, 3 different Rocks, 3 different Cenas, 2 different Honky Tonk Mans, Ultimate Warriors. Like, if I showed you, we had to put half of them on a shelf, and it's crazy. I'll take a picture of the shelf and I'll show you. It's crazy. Right. It's fucking crazy.
The Target.com, $40 for the Dusty ring.
You know, I just got paid today, too. Let me see if I could sneak that. All right, don't tell her, though, all right?
I ain't saying a word.
So that's why you're my boy. You're my boy. You're my boy, Blue. All right, listen, Kid Human's going to take a smoke. I'm going to plug our friends, and we'll be right back. We have a kick-ass throwback for you tonight, man. We
did. While I'm smoking and Phil's checking his funds, you're going to listen to some Lord Alfred Hayes.
That's right, Alfred. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're live, live/pre-recorded/live, rantingradio.com, and we'll be right back. Tell them, Lord Alfred.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you, thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog, as well as all of our friend shows. Go to RantEMRadio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course, all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different t-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Sport hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey you! Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, the Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Stop now.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe!
Now he only hit her one time.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Now he's more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show.
That
was all right. So disrespectful.
Alright.
Nah, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help out.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show. Every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Hey, this is Innovator of Selfie, Sonny Ono, on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and it's the best information on professional wrestling.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Up on the roof, out on the street, down in the playground, the hot cold.
right. Just hop the train, get the A train, get off on 116th Street, go to the bodega, get yourself a Spalding handball.
We're playing handball?
A couple quarter drinks.
Victory Field?
Well, no, I'm at 116th Street in Rockaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Bullet used to go down to 98th and play all the time.
98 was your spot, huh?
Yeah.
Mine was 116. And we had basketball. Where was the basketball courts?
They were down by like 105.
That's where I played some basketball.
Yeah, we would go down to 98 for the handball courts. But if we went to the beach, we'd go up by 135th, like down in Breezy Point, because there was nobody there.
Well, all you smartos on Park Kids knew all the hot spots anyway.
Well, I mean, I went to Beach Channel High School. I was there for 4 years. I knew all the like, quiet spots.
You might know my buddy Vinny Albanese. He went to...
Yes, I know Vinny Albanese.
All right.
Vinny Albanese is my boy. Mr. Kieko's Italian class. That is a throwback.
I went to school with his sister.
All right.
Liz. I went to junior high school with her in high school. But Vinny was my boy. I played football with Vinny, man. I haven't seen him in fucking gazillion years.
Me either. I haven't seen him. I talked to him when MySpace first came up. We kind of connected again.
You know, I talk to Liz all the time. I should ask how Vinny's doing, right? I'm such a schnook. Oh, man. All right, we're back. Live Terminal Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're reminiscing. We're talking about the beach and Rockaway. Kid Human in the building. The impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, the blue collar scholar. The sweaty heavyweight primate. I wish I could. I got to get like those. I have like a plan, Scott. Like I mean, I've upgraded my equipment in the last 4 years, but I really want to do some damage. I want to like, I'm getting a new microphone, and I want to like muffle the room with the foam and shit like the studios have.
Right.
And I also want to get like something that can fucking block the noise so I can play my air conditioner.
You know what works? Egg cartons.
Egg cartons. Well, yeah, I'm going to do that with this foam. I saw this foam. It's like $50 for the set, but, you know, it's like baby steps. I got to build a new table. There's so many things I want to do. It's money.
Yeah.
Stuff that
money and time.
Money and time. But, yeah, I want to do all that. But I like reminiscing, and it's so refreshing that Scott and I are, like, we're the same age because we know the struggle that is getting to our age, you know.
Yeah.
We're approaching middle age. And I think the nostalgia part for us sometimes gets in the way of real life, and I really don't care anymore. Like, I used to care, like, oh, my God, I'm worried about the past too much and, you know, worry about the future and take care of you. You know, I tell people at the end of each show, take care of yourselves, each other, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there's so many good times. Like, I tell people all the time, when it was good, it was really good. When it was bad, it was the worst time in your life. And there was no medium for me, you know, and I'm sure you have kind of, like, the similar, you know, lifestyle where it was like, okay, when it was good, it was good. When it was bad, it was awful.
Yeah, it was never a happy medium. It was just one extreme or the other.
But now we have a happy medium, getting older. We're doing stuff like this, reconnecting on social media, shit like that. It's just a blessing that we can do all that for everybody. So I'm glad that we're doing it. And I'm hoping everybody is having a really good summer, because I hate the summer. Yeah.
Just remember, as your age goes up, the number of fucks you give goes down.
He stinks, and I don't like him.
Yeah, Jimmy, thank you. All right, so tonight is a very special throwback. I had wanted to do an ECW. I'm going to break the fourth wall. I told Scott I wanted to do an ECW. The problem was I wanted to do the original footage. I didn't want to do any network strip shit. I have the original footage of the throwback I wanted to do, and I couldn't find the footage. So I'm going through my notes, and I said, give me a couple hours, Scott. I'm going to work on this. I'll give you a throwback before, because we knew we were doing it a day earlier. And I didn't want to inundate him with making him watch a bunch of shit when he didn't have to, or rushing him. Excuse me, I'm just belching with this fucking cheesesteak, but rushing you to watch something that, you know, is going to be terrible. But we have to talk about it anyway, because we've done that before. I've done that with everybody. We just talk about stuff that's terrible, but it's fun to talk about. But this particular throwback is a weird time in wrestling, okay? You are right in the middle of the 90s. So we're talking like the end of grunge. We're talking like, you know, Face Hogan in WCW with the shitty fucking Dungeon of Doom nonsense.
Yeah.
We're talking like 1995 WWF, which was the shits. And they couldn't even sell out arenas anymore, and it was like just weird. A weird time in pro wrestling. ECW was ruling the roost. WCW was still trying to find identity, signing guys like Savage and Hogan and the Nasty Boys and stuff like that. And Baywatch was the hottest show on TV. Never got into Baywatch, did you?
Never.
Okay.
Never got it. Yeah, you had women in freaking bathing suits.
You have to understand, too, Scott and I were in our early 20s at this point. So wrestling was almost on the back burner for me and you. Like, we paid attention, but the pussy and the booze and the music was where it was at for us.
Exactly.
And hustling for work, making money, getting jobs, and doing the side hustle, you know. But we're kicking it back to July 16th, 1995, in Huntington Beach, California. Big Beach. Huntington Beach is like the mecca of surf and skateboarding. And I know Anthrax made a living over there when they moved out to the West Coast. They did all this, a lot of stuff out there. And WCW decided that they're going to do an event so hot they had to put it on the beach. Okay? They say 9,500 people were in attendance.
If you listen to Heenan, he says hundreds of thousands.
It looked like hundreds of thousands. See, that, and we talked about the production value of World Championship Wrestling. It was second to none. They were in Biloxi, Mississippi with like 4,000 people and looked like a garden crowd.
Yeah.
So they've done their homework, you know? So they put it onto the beach, sort of like what they did at the Hog Wild with the bikers and everything in South Dakota. Is that where Sturgis is?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to do this by memory. And, you know, they had the public coming out there. Like, and it was anybody will do anything for free. Anybody will watch anything for free. So you figure, while you're on the beach, hey, look, there's a wrestling match. Let's go watch it. And the venue is the beach. There was no fucking – nobody bought a ticket, you know? Slim Jim was the promoter. Slim Jim was the
sponsor.
Was the sponsor. You know, Bill Watts was promoting, and he was doing a shitty job at that. But let's go back to Baywatch for a second. This was in like the fifth or sixth season already, and to promote the event, they had Hogan, Savage, Flair, Vader, and Kevin Sullivan all guest starred on a episode of Baywatch entitled Bash the Beach, hence where they got the name Bash the Beach. And there's a debut on this match, and on this card there's a fucking lifeguard match, which makes no sense to me.
It was
a lumberjack match, but none of the people who were or lifeguard / lumberjack match, and nobody involved was a lumberjack was a lifeguard. Especially Jerry Sags. We'll get into that in a few minutes. So that was going on. The Dungeon of Doom was working overtime to kill Hulkamania. That was the main goal, to kill Hulkamania. Sting was your U.S. champion. Harlem Heat were your tag team champions. I saved this for last. When I sent Scott the idea of the throwback, the first thing he said to me was, "I forgot about the Renegade." And I said, "No, sir. I did not forget about the Renegade. That's why you're getting this message." The Renegade was your TV champion. We'll get into that. This was a chock full of craziness.
It was a clusterfuckery of dickery.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Just write that down. Anyway. So let's take it back to July 16th, 1995 in Huntington Beach, California. You did have a couple of prelim matches that were shown that night at 6:05 on the main event. You had Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman defeating Queens' own Chris Canyon, rest in peace. Road Warrior Hawk trying for a comeback, which failed miserably. He fought Mark Starr, Jobber. And that was your other match, and then your last match on the main event. There was three matches. I apologize. Was for the WCW World Tag Team Championship for a shot for a shot at tag team titles. Dirty Dick Slater and Bunkhouse Buck defeated Marcus Bagwell and Alex Wright. So that was your three prelim matches. I remember seeing the...
And he wants royalties.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing that third match. I don't remember... I don't recall... Because I remember... I always watched the main event. I always watched 605, especially before a pay-per-view, because you would get those matches.
Yeah, it was like Sunday Night Heat right before a pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. And some of those matches... And this wasn't pre-recorded. Some of them weren't pre-recorded. Some of them were live. And that was rare with WCW. They didn't go live. I don't think they did go live at this point yet. They were still in that 1 hour or 2 hour block of Nitro. The Nitro was still new at this point, right?
Yeah, they didn't go live till probably like end of 96, beginning of 97.
I'm sorry, I'm a liar. Nitro wasn't even a thing yet. I think it was September of 95 was the first Nitro, I believe. I'm not sure. I may be missing my dates up here, but either way, they weren't even, it was in its infancy at that point, you know? The whole Eric Bischoff thing, by the way, was in its infancy, so.
The first ad, September 4th, 1995 through March 2001.
Thank you, sir. So Nitro wasn't even in existence yet. You still had WCW Main Event Saturday night, and you had the Worldwide and WrestleMania, WCW Pro. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your first match, Kid Human, let's break this down.
Sting versus Ming.
Sting.
Haven't played that in a while, huh?
No.
So, of course, Colonel Robert Parker wearing that fucking full suit in 9,000-degree weather in July.
Right, and you have Bobby Heenan and Tony Schiavone on the call.
Tony Schiavone, if you will, yes, and Bobby Heenan in his rare form. Michael Buffer doing the announcing for the championship matches. So they hyped Ming up. They played a Ming package to hype him up as like this crazy, unbeatable kind of guy. As tough as Ming was in real life, I could never take him that seriously. In big, high-profile matches like this.
Huzzah! Huzzah!
That's all he yelled.
Right, and he's, Tongan, Samoan, whatever you want to call it. His kids are kicking ass in New Japan. But, again, we all know the real-life stories about Ming. I just couldn't take him that seriously when you have the franchise. And truth be told, I know Hogan was there at this point about a year almost. Actually, it was a year because June of 94 was Hogan's debut in WCW. So Hogan's been in the company for a year. They just signed Savage. Sting was still the face of the company. You know, Sting has been there from, you know, when the NWA split with WCW and the whole nine yards. So Sting is still the guy, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the match was... It was kind of sloppy,
mm-hmm.
You know. Ming couldn't even do a Boston Crab.
I was not watching this. It was really, I mean, we'll get into it further. But I was this whole pay per view was sloppy.
Yeah, the only time Ming was good was when he fucked up jobbers.
Yeah,
you know, he's awful when it comes to real matches. But I wouldn't, you know, I don't know. I would in fear of him because of the. You know,
he'd fuck you up.
Yeah, of his reputation, you know. So at one point, it was crazy because at one point Ming tries to suplex Sting from the outside of the ring apron,
right,
to bring him back in, and kind of drops him on his neck, like it wasn't meant to be a brain buster. It was meant to be a suplex, a clean suplex back in the ring, but he dropped him on his neck. And I thought right there, like, I played it back. I'm like, dude, even Colonel Parker was like, oh, God, no. He had to turn away, like, oh, my God, did he cripple him?
Yeah, it wasn't Rollins that hurt his neck. He just felt it at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Ming is dangerous. He was kind of sloppy. He was like Titus O'Neil, who's the other guy? Ahmed Johnson sloppy, you know? But this match was terrible, and you would think these guys could do. And I think Sting, for the most part, carried him.
Yeah,
you know. So he gets like this roll up out of nowhere after taking a beating and getting dropped on his neck. You know, it was like, oh man. So of course, to cover it up, Ming gets the ring bell, and here comes, you know, Road Warrior Hawk to make sure nothing else happened. That should have been the match.
Yeah,
Hawk should have been fighting Ming instead of Sting. Yeah, you know, Hawk and Ming should have been like a sloppy, toughen and a $2 steak, two slabs of beef kind of match. You know,
shit should have been stiffer than a fucking strip club.
Yeah, but you know, and it was just. It was crazy. You know, it was nuts. What else you have on this match? Anything that you have any notes?
It was just even the roll-up at the end was sloppy.
Yeah.
It was just bad. Ming, I don't know if it was all on Ming, but Sting worked better matches.
Yeah.
Than that. Now, was there one point where he went for the Stinger Splash and he kicked him in the face?
Yeah. He kicked, like, he picked up his legs and, like, almost like he need him in the throat.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't get to extend the leg, you know? And then Sting did the Luthez press, and it was like, you know, and Ming wasn't really, you know, he was no-selling everything at this point. So, I don't know, dude. It was kind of terrible. It was kind of terrible. But Sting does get the win. And retains the U.S. Championship at 15 minutes, man. If this was 15 and a half minutes that you were not getting back. You were not getting that back, kid. You mean you're not. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's oh, that was bad. Yeah, it was terrible. I'd rather watch Strowman beat up jobbers.
Yeah, that's what you've been watching, actually.
Yeah.
All right, well... Let's let the elephant out of the room, and I don't mean me and you. Let's talk about Mr. Rick Wilson, a.k.a. the Renegade. Rick Wilson started out, like, proper. He was trained under Kowalski, who also trained Triple H, Perry Saturn, China, I believe. And Rick Wilson became... well, first he was this, like, Lord of the Jungle Tarzan gimmick called Rio, and not the fucking, you know, Duran Duran song.
He wasn't dancing on the sand?
He was not dancing on the sand.
Son of a bitch.
I thought so. He wrestled for War, which was a pretty popular promotion in Japan at the time. War was, it was kind of like a hybrid of... mixed martial arts, which wasn't even called mixed martial arts. It was, it was ran by a huge sports radio television company in Japan. And it was like, you know, Combat Zone meets ECW meets Ultimate Fighting meets Pancrase. They had everything in there. It had, like, you know, kickboxing and death matches and, you know, exploding rings and shit like that. I don't have his history about what he did in War, but he was Rio, Lord of the Jungle, in War. So he signed in 95, and what was weird about the Renegade was, you know, when they had Hogan and Savage, they had just gotten Savage. Hogan and Savage were teaming up, and Flair and Vader made this pact to fucking kill those two. There was like a strap match, and it was being hyped as the ultimate surprise. So now you see this silhouette, right, of the long hair and the tassels. And, oh, wait a minute, it's the Ultimate Warrior. And we all, I don't care who you are, we all fucking, we all drank the Kool-Aid. We all thought it was Ultimate Warrior coming back. And it was this 240-pound guy. With really bad makeup, fucking with the tassels on, running to the ring, doing the same shtick.
And his singlet, same exact shtick.
Same exact singlet with, like, yeah, it was just...
Even his promos, he tried to talk like him.
It was crazy.
Jimmy Hart has given me permission to TOS, terminate on sight.
That's pretty good, dude. You got a future in voiceovers.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, so this 5 foot nothing, 240 pound sack of shit, comes out with the Ultimate Warrior slash Chief J Strongbow singlets, right? He comes out and for like three, he's the man that's gonna bring Hulkamania into the 21st century. This guy, and like Scott said, he was TOS. Here's the most fucked up part of this whole thing: the guy's on salary for 3 months. And they make Arn Anderson job to him at the Great American Bash for the World Television Championship. My favorite world, my favorite title of all time.
Given to a buffoon.
Now, Mr. Wonderful, who was himself a former television champion, and to his credit, wasn't the greatest U.S. champion, I mean TV champion. Orndorff was at the end of his career at this point, and he was doing a lot of stuff with the power plant. But I got to tell you, man, you know, this hurts my soul.
Yeah.
This hurts my soul. And I don't want to – I tried to look for something positive about this Renegade guy. But I couldn't.
Dude, did he not deliver the worst drop kicks ever?
He hit Wonderful with a drop kick, and he goes to the center of the ring, like Scott just said, and he jumps up, and his right leg is like it was almost like a super. It was like a kick. It wasn't even like a drop kick. He couldn't even throw a drop kick. Couldn't keep himself up. He fell back. Couldn't sell it. Wonderful, of course, sold it like. Because he's Mr. Wonderful. But, you know, the Renegade is truly terrible. Everything he does looks like it's either kills a guy or wouldn't hurt a fucking hummingbird, a tiny little hummingbird, you know? Of course, Mr. Wonderful, being the heel, uses sand.
That was awesome.
Right?
Just got a handful of sand and threw it right in his eyes.
Right. There's no storyline in this.
Didn't Wonderful win like a tournament to face Anderson? Then he took the belt, and now he had to fight him. They were saying,
"Yeah, Wonderful wound up winning the belt, but not tonight. He should have won it this day." Renegade gets a back suplex, like that's how he wins the match.
And Orndorff was kicked out of it too.
So Orndorff kicks out of it. The bell rings. Orndorff gets mad, takes the same bell that Ming had. And then he hits a pile driver, and he no-sold the fucking pile driver to hit a top rope crossbody.
Yeah.
Like, really, dude?
This was no-sold the pile driver. The Orndorff pile driver,
not fucking Mark Starr or the Gambler's pile driver that you would see on Saturday night. This is Paul Orndorff, the king of the pile driver. The master of the pile driver.
The only one that delivered a better pile driver was probably the king, and that's an arguable debate.
That is definitely an arguable debate. That would be actually a fantasy warfare debate. There's a couple of guys that had really good pile drivers. Orndorff had a good pile driver. Jerry Lawler had a good pile driver. Jerry Lynn had a good pile. That cradle pile driver?
Yeah.
My God, that was amazing. A couple of guys got him off. Taz had a good pile driver.
Gilbert.
Eddie Gilbert, you talking about?
Yes.
Tully Blanchard had a good pile driver. Of course, when he spiked it with Anderson, it made it better. But so
when you spike anything, it makes it better.
Right. So the Renegade retains the title. Hold on a second. Let me get back.
Bill Alfonso's birthday is today.
Happy birthday, Fonzie.
Cut
right down the middle. Also, happy birthday to Hulk Hogan. I think somebody else had a birthday. I didn't even look, though. I did no homework, man. Just kept to watch the pay-per-view. 6 minutes, 12 seconds. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
Then we kick it back to the dungeon. So Kevin Sullivan has his Hulkamania wizard robe on with the bolts on it. He's got his head fucking painted. And he's got this goblet, this chalice, if you will. Of dry ice, looking like a real bag of douche too, and of course Kevin Sullivan does that oh so well, and the dungeon master was King Curtis, an old who I think his son was Prince Iakea. I'm not sure. I believe it was. I'm not positive. I'm trying to do that with memory. But King Curtis yells about the sand and the warriors enslaving the beach. And I have a warrior for you that can kill Hulkamania. And who does he bring out? Kamala.
The Ugandan headhunter.
So that's my contribution to the voiceovers today. Kamala. Not as good as yours, but it'll do. Kamala even looks surprised when he comes out. Like, really? You doing this for me? Like, the face of, like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
Belly slapping motherfucker.
Yeah, so that was the weapon. The new weapon to the Dungeon of Doom. The Dungeon of Doom was so fucking bad. And I know Shining Wizards Kevin is going to give me shit for this because he was a kid. And this was his favorite fucking time in WCW. But, dude, the Dungeon of Doom was the shits of the drizzling variety. Right, right, Jimmy Norton?
He stinks, and I don't like him.
Thank you.
I mean, and we're talking about drizzling, like when you bake a cake and then you take the icing and just pour it on slowly in those little lines. That's what kind of drizzling shits it was.
Right, when you don't let the cake cool off, and you just put the icing on, it just runs off the cake.
Yeah, it's just a hot steamer with icing.
Ugh. Ugh. Who wants to eat? Who eats that? Communists eat cake like that, Kid Newman.
Yeah.
Communists eat cake like that. So then, of course, Mean Gene talks to Jim Duggan, who's very upset, by the way. And when's Jim Duggan not upset, you know?
But he's beating on a Russian.
Yeah, this is true. Oh, and he's not turning on his country. But he's like, no more Mr. Nice Guy. Like, he's trying to rectify and justify why his match with Kamala is very important.
Yeah. I don't know.
And you would think, wow, Kamala versus Jim Duggan? This is going to be a shit show. But Kid Human, can it get any worse?
No.
Oh, yes, it can.
Can it?
Of course.
Oh.
So now, you know, deepest, darkest Africa, here comes Kamala. He's fighting Jim Duggan. Jim works his magic with his step in clothesline, and he's trying to knock the big man down.
That's what it was. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, he was like, and Heenan's like, he's not off his feet yet. I'm like, he is today.
Yeah. Hey-o! Hey-o!
I was like, what joke was I making about his feet?
Right. So here's how it goes. Obviously, Kevin Sullivan has had enough of Jim Duggan having the upper hand. Sullivan comes over and pulls on Nick Patrick.
Yeah.
And now Duggan's trying to break up the referee and Kevin Sullivan. And who comes in the ring?
Zodiac.
Yes. No. Yes. No. And the Zodiac comes in with something in his hands.
It looked like a belt.
Look like a belt or a megaphone or something. Look at Jimmy Hart's megaphone or something.
Yeah.
Comes in with this thing and knocks the fuck out of Duggan.
Axel.
And I'm like, that has to be. And not for nothing, you think the Dungeon was bad. Brutus Beefcake had terrible, terrible aliases in World Championship Wrestling. If it wasn't the Zodiac, it was the biker gimmick in the NWO. Oh. Would they call him in the NWO? Brother Brute Eye or something like that?
Something.
And then he was the Booty Man. Like
the Booty Man, I forgot all about that. Oh my God.
Right. So
filed that shit away with the Renegade.
So Zodiac hits. Oh, so you know what? No, dude, I'm looking at it now. It's Kamala's mask.
Okay, that's what it was.
It was Kamala's mask, giving Kamala the win. This is one of the worst matches of all time. Like, untrained indie workers could put on better matches. They probably have backyard wrestlers can put on better wrestlers than put on better
matches. I saw a better indie show at the fucking county fair the other night.
You did. Oh, boy. All right. So we kick it back to Mean Gene, who gets a few words from the Macho Man. And, you know, he's been given, you know, Savage is imagining getting the Slim Jim plug, and he's wearing the Slim Jim hat and the Slim Jim shirt. And to his credit, as bad as it was, I'm glad he made a ton of money off that.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of Randy Savage in WCW. I thought he was, after this, after the turn, after the Hogan turn, a year after this, I thought they underutilized Randy Savage. And this is before he joined the NWO. I thought they could have did a lot more with him. But at that point, I mean, everybody was joining, you know?
Yeah.
So let's kick it to the next match, shall we?
What is that? DDP versus... fuck, is Dave Sullivan?
Yeah, Dave Sullivan, the illegitimate brother of Kevin Sullivan. No relation. Dave finally fixed his name. He was calling himself Evad for a little while. He used to walk around with, like, stuffed animals and shit. He was real... he was creepy. Dave Sullivan was a creepy man. He was, like, a real bigger version of Kevin Sullivan. Looked like him and everything.
Yeah, the match was terrible.
This was definitely a ripoff of George the Animal Steel and Macho Man with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Apparently, DDP is playing the heel womanizer. Kimberly looking oh so fucking fine now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kimberly had that Saved by the Bell fucking pink dress on with the Kelly Kapowski hat. Just wanted to fucking violate her face.
Yeah.
With my fucking manhood. And then, you know, the 90s, as much as I hated the 90s on television, some of those chicks were fucking hot.
Oh, yeah. She would have been, you know, as Marv Albert said, the lip is the facial.
Yes! I'm going to bite her, too. Hello. Yeah.
Jesus!
Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. At least I'm not this guy.
I am the king of bacon.
It's true. Anyway,
If in that case, make sure you get from some for next Sunday.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
1 year, the anniversary.
Yep.
I am the king of bacon.
Yep. Yeah, I spoke to that fool today. I said you better show up for the NXT. He's like, I'll be there. I'm like, good. It's always nice to see him, that punk. And you can check him out on the final episode of Freaks and Effing Geeks this coming Tuesday. Kid Human will plug all the fine shows on this network at the end of our broadcast. All right. So DDP's playing the womanizer, all right? I don't know. This match was sloppy. People on the beach that didn't pay deserved a refund.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah, so on top of DDP having
it was so sloppy, it made Mickey James look like a clean sandwich.
Ooh.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt. Maybe you have some more cunt kids.
Yeah, cunt kids. But definitely, he's a cunt. And how about Max Muscle? Oh, God. What did he go, like the Ted RCD School of fucking Muscleheads? Like,
he looked like baby Don Morocco.
He looked like baby Don Morocco. I love it. So now, you know, again, you know, womanizer, bodyguard. It wasn't I still call it the Canyon Cutter because that's what Canyon did before DDP called the Diamond Cutter.
And then it became the RKO.
RKO, yeah. So let's not get it twisted. Queens' own Chris Canyon made that move. So it's still the Canyon Cutter to me. I'm sorry.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin just added a kick before it was delivered.
Right, exactly. And modified. It's a modified Canyon Cutter.
Yep.
Yeah, it gets distraction to Evad Sullivan. Very, 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 very simple man. Went to the George Animal Steel School of Animals. And Max Muscle he distracts Evad. DDP hits the Canyon Cutter for the bang. And that's pretty much it. And there you go. There was another sloppy match in the making. So far, not really good stuff.
And this next match is no fucking better.
Well, you see, here's the thing, too, man. You would think that this would be good.
Oh, on paper, I was like, oh, I'm watching this fucking match.
Because this actually had a story behind it. There was, you know, there was a build-up to this.
Yeah.
This was a triangle tag team match for the WCW Tag Team Championship. There was going to be two separate matches, but triangle matches is essentially a three-way tournament with like one team getting a bye. The last tournament was the worst one. It involved the Nasty Boys. It was fucking terrible. Toying course determines like, you know, who's going to fight first. It was kind of sloppy, like Scott said. It was Champions Harlem Heat, who, you know, Gene gets some words with them and Sister Sherry. never lost for a Harlem Heat. Always cut good promos. I was always a big fan of Sherry, too.
You want some? Come get some, but be ready to take some.
That's right. You know, it's pretty simple. Clean and cut. Two guys from Houston pretending they're from Harlem.
Sherry, we're going to get back on the planes with these belts. Don't you forget that.
That's right. She was so good, man.
Yeah, they were all great on the mic.
I agree. You know, and then it was against the Nasty Boys and the Blue Bloods. The Blue Bloods were Bobby Eaton, who, thank God, we found them.
Yes.
And Steven Regal, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a build-up because the Blue Bloods were establishing themselves as a tag team. Eaton was converting to this aristocrat fucking British style. Cut his hair and he cut the mullet and got some new clothes and... It was kind of weird seeing him in that gimmick. You know? You want to get into this a little bit or what?
Yeah. Now, when the announcements first came on and they were introducing them and they're telling them the rules of the match, they basically said if a team is disqualified, they go to the back and the other two teams fight it out.
Right.
But only two people are allowed in the ring at a time and you could tag whomever you want. So picture it as an elimination match, but no eliminations. Which, I mean, there were some good spots in this match. I mean, the Nasty Boys hit the pit stop on the Blue Bloods.
Yep.
What else was there?
Brian Knobbs got bitch slapped.
Yes. I mean, William Regal is William Regal, his technical wrestling. Harlem Heat, you know, came out with the kicks, kicking you from every angle. But... I mean, but the whole time the announcers knew not what the rules were. Is it elimination? Is it what? Who's here? And all Heenan kept saying is, I don't know what's going on. I lost track. I can't keep up.
See, I was confused. When the Nasty Boys pinned Booker T and Sags doing straight the fucking, he was teabagging him pretty much. Like, he legit looked like he was teabagging him.
Right.
While Booker was on top of Regal, the Nasty Boys thought they won, but in essence, Booker T got the pin on Regal.
Yes.
Right?
But if... Yeah, but so how does three people, and one who... Regal wasn't even a legal man, get pinned?
I don't know.
This match was just... It was... Ugh. Just, they didn't know what was going on. Nobody knew anything. And it was just...
I want to blame the Nasty Boys. Because I don't like them.
Yeah, we'll blame the Nasty Boys. It wasn't Regal's fault. He wasn't even a legal fucking man.
Yeah, and Harlem Heat... At that point, Harlem Heat was like the standard. You know? I mean, they were like the... You know, after the Steiners in WCW, the Harlem Heat was the premier team.
Hands I think down. They were the premier team.
Better than the Steiners all time in there? Yeah, they're better than the Steiner brothers.
11-time tag champions.
But if the Steiners would have stayed together, man, they were doing like Road Warrior shit. They're winning belts on every fucking continent. You know?
But it's always hard. I mean, if Harlem Heat would have went anywhere, I mean, they stayed loyal to WCW.
I know. I'm just
they would have been all over the world winning titles too. If they would have came to the WWE, they would have been king shit.
Really? So you think Harlem Heat's better than the Steiners, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to disagree, but I'm not saying I love the Harlem Heat. I do. But the Steiner brothers were on some fucking shit, man. They were on that Road Warriors run for a minute.
I mean, they're neck and neck, but I'm going to give it to Harlem Heat because I got a better theme song.
Oh, absolutely. Better than Steiner Line. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Harlem Heat comes out, you're on your feet, like, yeah. You're bobbing and weaving. The Steiner's around, you're like trying to duck, like, I don't want to see this music.
That dude. Dope.
Can you dig that, sucker?
They were dope.
Yeah.
They became my favorite black tag team after Doom broke up. So now we go to Mean by God Gene. We take it to the Nature Boy. Right, and the humidity is doing Flair's hair no favors now.
No.
No.
And in the promo, Mean Gene asked him about Elizabeth,
and if she went to Space Mountain.
That's right. You know what he said?
When you get on Space Mountain, you'll be like this.
Well, he didn't really say that, but he
might as well.
He paraphrased. He paraphrased that he's fucking Baywatch women, and he hit Elizabeth. Mean Gene smiling. Mean Gene at one point turned his head away. Was like, oh, I can't fuck with this guy. Like he, you can see Gene. If you look at the interview again, right?
Yeah, this was the best part of the pay per view. This interview.
And he puts his hand out, right? And and Gene puts his hand over his face and turns away. Like, the fuck did he just say? Like, what the fuck is this? It's a lumberjack match, kids, but they're calling it a lifeguard match because there's 9,000 people on a beach watching it for free.
And they brought out the Baywatch lifeguard.
Yes, yes. No one knows. Canyon's one of the lifeguards.
Arn Anderson was a lifeguard.
Yes.
Harlem Heat were lifeguards. Yes. The Nasty Boys were lifeguards.
I don't understand.
I think Buff Bagwell was out there as a lifeguard.
Yeah, so the match starts off in a hurry. Savage is all over Flair, which how all their matches start, you know?
Yep.
Couple cheap shots. Flair throws his in. Macho's throwing the punches. Flair flips the Flair flip. The ever so popular Flair flip.
Over
right,
the rope.
Right, yeah, right onto the face lumberguards. Lumberguards, we'll call them lumberguards, okay?
Okay.
Okay. The lumberguards who throw him right back in the face side. Savage is tossed to the sand. That's got to suck. I hate sand.
Yes.
I loathe sand.
And you know, Bobby Heenan brought up a really good point. He's like, if that sand gets in the ring and someone slips on it, you can, you know, tear your muscle, break a leg, end your career.
He did say that. And you know, you have to agree with him.
Yeah. Because I mean, we've all slipped on sand.
Oh, it's the worst, especially when it's wet.
Yeah.
And they're all sweaty with the oil and stuff, and ugh. Oh, man. It's terrible. Right, so, you know, Flair's got this peach-colored gear, which really doesn't tan his ass with the rest of the body. It's supposed to be pink.
And the fucking lifeguards had on the shittiest outfits.
Oh, man.
They had on those, like, tie-dye shirts with, like, orange shorts.
Yeah. It was terrible, man. It is fucking terrible. Yeah, so...
I'll tell you one thing. Fucking Ralph Lauren did not fucking provide clothes for this one.
No. Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Slim Jim. That's it.
Dude, they could have been out there in hyper colors and it would have been better.
What was those things that... Was that what the... what were those...
Yeah, like it was like when you touched it, it left the handprint. Yeah, that was hypercolors.
Hypercolors, right? And, you know, I don't know what was worse. The Guido's wearing the hypercolors with the Zubaz or the hypercolors with the Sergio Tacchini bottoms.
Oh.
Ooh. Bad look for those Guidos.
Yeah.
And we know a few of those. The lifeguards didn't get involved too much. Flair goes to the top. Instead of getting tossed off, Macho falls into the ropes and looks like his skin is untouched by the kiss of the sun. It was crazy. We're about to go old school with the figure four. But Randy Poffo's dad, Mr. Poffo, Angelo Poffo, is in the crowd. He didn't pay for a ticket, though.
Nobody did.
Maybe.
And he couldn't even get, you know, VIP seating or VIP standing.
Maybe all the Slim Jim plugs were to counteract the lack of paying audience.
Maybe.
Maybe. Harlem Heat marked for the vertical throw. This just fires up Savage more. He starts punching the shit out of Flair. Flair runs away. Then the heels run him back in. Double axe handle. Arn Anderson gets on the apron and then in the ring. Eye poke from Flair. Flair backdropped over the top rope. The Nasty Boys catch him. And during the fray, Arn comes back in, hits Savage with a DDT. 1-2 count only. Flair goes up one more time and gets tossed. Double axe handle. Flying elbow drop. Macho Man retains.
This was actually the best match of the night.
Yeah, in terms of unsloppiness, yes. Yes. In terms of not being sloppy, and have you ever... Be honest with yourself now. being a wrestling fan for 30 years, have you ever seen a sloppy Macho Man match? I mean, I've seen bad Macho Man matches, but
I
never
can't
sloppy.
Think of any like you said, bad ones. Yes, sloppy. No,
right.
And if it was sloppy, it was not him.
And then at this point, they cut to a long, long Vader Hogan video. Dude, I need time to build. You know, put the cage up, obviously.
Yeah.
It includes the clips of Vader apparently beating the shit out of jobbers on some indie house show set to, if anybody caught this, it was Rey Mysterio Jr.'s first theme. If anybody caught that, it was Ray's first theme. That's what they did his hype video for. Back to Mean Gene. Vader tells Gene what time it is. Like, he tells everybody what time it is. And Hogan thinks this is his hometown. But Vader himself grew up in of course, inner city Los Angeles, playing football for the University of Colorado, and I believe he played for the Rams.
Yeah, at that time, they were. Now, were they LA Rams at that time?
Yes, they were. No. At this point, 95?
Well, no, when Vader played.
When Vader played, yes. Not
yeah, I know in 95 they were St. Louis, but when Vader played, they were the LA.
Then they show the Collision in Korea clips, which I believe now is on the network. The Collision in Korea, which happened right around this time, 1995.
Yeah, it was right after because that's where they were going next.
So we go back to Mean Gene, who's with Jimmy Hart, Hulk Hogan, and Dennis Rodman.
Wow.
Rodman wipes Hogan's mouth, which leads to Hogan saying some interesting take it easy, big man kind of thing. And Hogan is just, you know, in Collision with the Great White Sharks and who's going to eat Vader and throw him in the ocean. And also he's calling Rodman Rodney, which was weird. I guess they just became friends 30 seconds before the promo. I don't know.
Right.
Of course, Rodman at this point, after this, has a long-standing relationship with World Championship Wrestling. We all know what happens after that. He becomes NWO. He fights with Hogan against DDP and Karl Malone, which maybe one day we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mongo was a horseman at that time, too, isn't he?
At this point?
No, during the
yes.
Rodman Karl Malone. Yeah, we're going to have to do that because that's going to be, yeah.
I fucking hate that guy.
Okay.
All right. So, Scott, you ready for the main event?
Yeah. Bring it on.
You don't sound too happy, bro.
I mean, I had a lot. This match wasn't bad.
No.
But my God, for a fucking steel cage match, this thing was like, wouldn't have held kindergartners in fucking place.
Well, I got to tell you, you know my theory with Hulk Hogan and steel cages. You can't beat a Hulk Hogan steel cage match. I think Hulk Hogan is right in his element when you put him in a cage. It kind of like it still had that old school feel to it. Of course, the old school cage makes it worthwhile. Vader's mask is amazing.
Yes.
Everything Vader. One of my top five favorite people of all time, wrestling wise. Anything Vader did was gold. I was legitimately afraid of Vader, and thought that at any time he could be world champion. That's how fucking great he was.
But they could have made the cage taller. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, like, yeah, I agree.
I mean, on the outside at the end when Hogan dropped, he was holding the top and he hung drop about 4 inches.
I agree.
But, you know, when he was on the top rope, his tights were above the top of the cage. You got to make it a little bit bigger, guys.
Yeah, they kind of dropped the ball on it. I think they were just worried about production with the camera angles and shit. Because you have to understand, they're doing this outdoors. There's no seating. They want to make, you know, the camera angles have to be just right. I think they compromised the ring size in the cage for that, they wanted to give it a bigger look.
Yeah.
And I don't think the wrestlers took advantage of the schematics. They never do. They wrestlers really don't think about that shit. Unless you're Macho Man, who thinks about everything and is very meticulous, but
Hogan, and that's why he's never had a sloppy match.
Right. Hogan puts on Vader's helmet and does the worst fucking headbutts ever.
God, were they terrible. I mean, it's like what you do like when you're kidding around with your wife and you just give her like that little tap.
Yeah, except I don't give taps. I just headbutt the fuck. I'm joking.
Well, you better deliver one for me and be like, he wants a book review. Gagosh.
Yeah. She's already been told, dude. She's already okay. Been told. I remind her now weekly. I make her feel terrible about it, which is what I should be doing. Yeah, Hogan puts on the mask. It's fucking terrible. Hogan busted himself open in the helmet too, dude.
Yeah, I saw that. That little dot right in the middle looked like
fucking idiot. A Vader bomb. Hogan kicks out. Doesn't Hulk up though. Thank God. Too early in the match to Hulk up, right?
Yeah.
Vader tries something off the top, but almost looks like he was going for an SSP or whatever it was. But whatever he tried didn't work and ended up missing the fucking senton and twisting the air like a fucking. I think he literally wrecked his shoulder. It looked like he hurt himself anyway, if you play it back. So now Hogan goes to work. Vader's hurt. Like, he's legit hurt. He hurt himself. A slam doesn't work. The next one is whatever. Second rope splash. Now Hogan does his fucking asthma attack. He hulks up, right?
Yep.
Gets the big boot. Vader still doesn't go down. Hogan tries the running boot. Gets the foot no higher than Vader's fucking gunt. Which is, for fat guys, it's the little belly above the fucking taint, above the brajole, which I have. He hit him right. It was the worst fucking boot Hogan ever had. Then, of course, here comes Sullivan. Here comes the fucking Zodiac. Rodman. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, they try and get in the cage.
Right.
Two of them trying to fiddle with the lock, and Rodman comes over and slams Zodiac's head into it. And then, did he have a chair?
I think so. You know what pisses me off? Sullivan and Beefcake, or Zodiac, can't open the cage. It's obvious they're waiting for Rodman's cue.
Yeah.
Rodman's got to step up, man, at that point. Yeah. Like, you know, you got two pros there trying to open the cage and trying to fiddle with the gimmick. And, you have to come correct, you know? Leg drop, Hogan, you know, and of course, Rodman gets rid of them. Big leg drop. Hogan then poses around for no reason, like he just won the match. Another leg drop. Hogan begins to climb. Here comes Vader. Vader gets crotched, and then Hogan climbs out. Title retained.
Yep.
Not one of Hogan's best cage matches. During this, Bobby Brain and Tony Schiavone act like they were off the air because of course he goes, "Great telecast, Brain. Are we getting this? Are we getting this on film?" Vader grabs Flair. On runs in. Flair gets the fuck out. I guess Vader just turned face at this point because it was a really bad face turn for Vader. It was rushed. They could have did this like the night before the night after the event after. They didn't have to do this at the end of the pay-per-view. So kind of a Bill Watts kind of work where the guys are fed up and, you know, we know the Dusty finish. This is the Bill Watts finish where it's all rushed. And you have to get the fucking face turn from the main heel in order for the storyline to commence. But really didn't have to happen that way. Just my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
But all in all, it was a very sloppy Bash at the Beach.
Yeah. It was very bad. I mean, I give this like a 4 out of 10.
I'm going to be generous and give it a 5. Only because of the cage match. And because Randy Savage and Ric Flair kicked ass, and the Renegade was so bad,
I give it a 5.
I deducted points just because of that fucking triple threat tag match.
You know what, Scott? This is Olympic season, man. So you do you, my friend. You do you.
Yes, sir.
So that's pretty much it for this week. We apologize for not being on live, but unless you guys want to see your boy homeless and out of a show, then you gotta throw him,
and divorced.
Yeah, you gotta throw me a Friday once in a while. But we have a amazing show coming up for you next week. We have awesome content coming up on this network. You wanna get into all the nonsense and do it up or what?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
So our boys will be back tomorrow night. The Horsemen, the Four Horsemen, as they've now been dubbed. Will Morgan, Big Tone, Mr. Hightower, and you might get an appearance from Mongo himself, Destin, on the Wrestling Call-In Show tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Sunday, come back with Surfer and Jordan Cobb at 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading comic book show.
they'll bring you up to date on Suicide Squad's numbers and everything else related to comic books, comic book movies, TV shows, and whatever the hell else they feel like talking about. Monday night, right after Raw, don't forget our boys over there from Queens and Brooklyn, Mick Wrestling and Rick Dara, joined by that little girl from Texas, Padawan Jen, on Talk Brunch, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. The last time I'm saying this, but tune in Tuesday night, Two for Tuesday comes to an end. The rant, is it starting early or is it just ending early?
It's ending early. Special
right, it's
start,
8 to 10.
Right, special start time for yes. Freaks, right?
Yeah, it's 8 to 10 on Tuesday night with the rant kicked off by the owner of the network, Double A, and his cohort, Tony C. At 10 p.m., join Lee, Champion, and Rage for the last ever Freaks and Effing Geeks podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, sir, that's going to be said in the last episode of MASH.
Right.
Goodbye, yeah. So long, and farewell.
Yeah, yeah. Klinger's going to co-host, I heard.
Yeah?
With Rage. No, I'm joking. Right. I want to thank those guys for some good content. It was a fun little run while it lasted. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead. So, Friday night.
Oh, no. Wednesday night, we got Thumbstick Ninjas, Rob Domingo and his crew. This is a replay week, I do believe.
Yes. They had a new episode yesterday.
Yep.
2 days ago.
So, they got a replay coming up this week. And Thursday night, you have Mofo Magic, Pookie, Doomsday, Azrael, Gargamel, Papa Smurf, and Brainy. And they will be giving you the best of rant and wrestling. Next Friday night, we have a program twist. Join Surfa and Jordan Cobb for Surfa's Summertime Fun Show.
Christ help us all.
Next Friday night, that's 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. No, 9 p.m.
9 p.m.
They took our time slot, yeah.
Yes. Now, then we, Saturday night, SummerSlam weekend, join myself, Kid Human, and the owner, Double A, as we bring you the NXT pre-show at 7 p.m.
Live from Brooklyn, New York, baby.
We'll be joined by Phil, Rob, Rage,
yep.
Choppy,
yep.
And Dave Mahalahala.
Daniel Powell's?
Yeah, something like that.
That guy.
And, we'll be getting phone calls live from on scene.
Yep.
Come back to the chat room. As always, during the show, we'll be in there live. And then at 11 p.m. is the post-show and the wrestling call-in show combined into one. Then you have Sunday at noon, SummerSlam Sunday. The boys are back. That's right. Me and Big Phil are back on a Sunday afternoon brunch time at noon. We will be bringing you SummerSlam 2001, continuing our invasion angle.
That's going to be so dope.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Join us then. And then join, we got the post-show at 6 p.m. Or is it at 5 p.m.? The pre-show.
The pre-show's at 6.
6 p.m. With Double A and Tony C and probably a cast of characters on that one as well.
Yep.
Stay in the chat room and then who knows what time the event is going off. But right after that, join us back in the chat room for the post show as well.
Yeah, don't forget, man. Don't forget to get all the programming changes on rantemradio.com. All new shows on turnbuckletrowbacks.com will be posted. And, of course, shiningwizardsnetwork.com and all the other fine networks we're part of and all the shows we're part of. You can get all of them from .com. Check everybody out. Support us on Twitter. I am at TBuckleTbacks. Kid Human is at
KidHuman616.
That's right. You want to email us. It's turnbuckletrowbacks1@gmail.com. We're on Instagram. We're on Snapchat, which I don't use. I don't care. But if you want to Snapchat us.
Snapchat.
Well, yeah. I'll just, if I see titties, I'll give them to you. And I'm not worried about
all
it.
All right.
What else we got? Yeah. And we are, again, all the outlets, man. Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Geek Life Radio. The transistor radios, everywhere. We're everywhere. Just
Double A's teeth fillings.
Yeah. Wow. that's awesome. Leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher. It helps us a lot. And just continue to support us, man. We really appreciate all the love. We're getting a lot of nice feedback. We have t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/tumblethrowbacks. 4 different designs. It'd be like Rick Dar. I'm sorry, not Rick.
Jay Baca. And Tank.
And Tank. They have all the flavors. Get them all.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Go buy a shirt. So,
yep, you know,
We're not asking for a GoFundMe account for a new hip. Just buy a shirt.
Exactly. So on behalf of the Kid Human, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Raya, bidding you adieu. Reminding you all, please, I'm really emphasizing this fucking week, please. Take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Say the N-word. Say, call your mom. Tell your lover. Squash all your beefs. And try to live a nice, peaceful life. Sustaining life. Support all your shows. Support all your friends and all their endeavors. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.